This episode is brought to you by Four Sigmatic, a wellness company that is well known for its delicious mushroom coffee. Four Sigmatic's mushroom coffee is real, organic, fair trade, single origin Arabica coffee with lion's mane mushroom for productivity and shaga mushroom for immune support. I've been starting my day with Four Sigmatic's ground mushroom coffee with lion's mane instead of regular coffee, and I love how it helps me focus so I can get shit done. It's amazing, and I absolutely feel an uptick in my productivity every time I drink it. It helps me focus like nothing else. Mushroom coffee is also easy on my gut and doesn't leave me with that awful jittery feeling or midday crash.
This is so cool, Zach. I had a friend come from Asheville. She stayed with me. We were running a half marathon together. I'm just like, hey, you know, we got the half marathon later today. Do you want to start your day with some coffee? She was like, actually, no. And I go, oh, you don't do coffee? She goes, sorry, Johnny, I only do Four Sigmatic. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Look over here. She was like, what? And I'm just like, I do a podcast. Of course I drink Four Sigmatic. Who doesn't? She was like, Johnny Fairplay, you are the man. Let's start our day right. How cool is that, Zach?
That's incredible. Hey, she knows what's up.
All Four Sigmatic products are organic, vegan, and gluten-free. And every single batch is third-party lab tested to ensure its purity and safety, so you know you're getting the highest quality coffee and mushrooms possible. Now, you're probably thinking, does this coffee taste like mushrooms? I can guarantee it tastes just like the coffee you love. It brews dark and nutty and tastes incredible. Over 20,000 five-star reviews, and best of all, Four Sigmatic backs their products with a 100% money-back guarantee. Love every sip or get your money back.
And we've worked out an exclusive offer with Four Sigmatic on their best-selling mushroom coffee, and it's just for Reality NSFW listeners. Get up to 40% off and free shipping on mushroom coffee bundles. To claim the deal, you must go to foursigmatic.com/survivor. This offer is only for Reality NSFW listeners and is not available on their regular website. You'll save up to 40% and get free shipping. So go right now to foursigmatic.com/survivor and fuel your productivity and creativity with some delicious mushroom coffee.
Welcome to Reality NSFW. Professor Tim watches Survivor. We're going to be talking about episode number 2 of season 4, Marquesas, today. Professor Tim, good to see you again. Cody, nice to see you as well. What did you guys think of the episode?
Cody first.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. So I thought that this was a fantastic episode, and I thought that we got to see a different side of a couple of the characters that we didn't see in the first episode, particularly Sarah and Patricia. Both of them, you know, there was some very deliberate changes in their approach, I think, in this episode. And I'm excited to get to talk about it a little bit tonight.
Yes, I didn't. You're going to have to talk about it a great deal, I'm afraid, because I didn't see very many changes in Sarah. So you're going to have to point those out to me. I did, however, see all the hints I wanted for me to be able to make a very, very precise prediction of who is going to win. So I will try and do that. Of course, for those people who've actually seen it all, they're going to think, you know, I'm hardly a killjoy, I'm just late to the party. But so there will be a spoiler, I hope. and then you can all ow. Then I hurt my back. Then you can all laugh at me when I'm wrong. But I think I'm going to be right. I have this conviction that I'm right. So, you know, I've had it before. I've generally been right.
I'm very intrigued to know.
Well, I think, look, I'll give you a hint.
Which tribe?
The one beginning with M, Matumori or whatever. What's it called?
Miramadu?
Yeah, I feel it's like one of my favorite actors,
the Yellow Tribe.
Matthew Modine or something, or Matthew McConaughey or something. It's sort of Yeah, anyway, just Yellow Tribe. There we are. No, but I just think today, maybe I'm just dominated by the fact that this is the anniversary of the death of George Floyd, and I think Black Lives Matter, and that's where I'm going. So I hope I'm not going off on a wild goose chase. I don't think I am, and I'll tell you later why I think I'm why I think we're going in that direction.
So we're going to get the journey as we continue through the season, and we'll get to hear whether you were right or whether you were wrong.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I I'm sorry. I'm sorry about Patricia. It is Patricia who goes today, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm sorry about her. But by the end of the episode, I was cheering, frankly. I was thinking, you know, just go. It's enough.
And you know, what's funny for me is that I was watching this episode and I almost found, like, I don't get offended by people with personalities like that, where she was trying to take that motherly role.
Well, it wasn't just the personality, it was a personality defect, I think.
Yeah. I don't think it would have rubbed me the wrong way, the way that it did.
Given half an hour of it, I think it would have done. I think you would have been in rebellion.
Cody, I've heard if you're been hungry, the first. If you're hungry, you're going to get annoyed by people.
This is true. I do get hangry, so that could probably add to the frustration. I can understand that.
So, Cody, if you hadn't voted for Patricia, who would you have voted off today?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think that that Patricia was necessarily a bad choice, because in terms of challenges, we had a couple of challenges in this episode. The first one was a reward challenge where they were swimming down and emptying the rocks out of the boat.
I didn't see Patricia.
Even see her in that challenge, no. So I can't really I can't speak to how she did.
I didn't understand the rules. So sometimes one person went down to get the rocks. Sometimes two people went down to get the rocks. Was the idea that there was a limit on who could go down?
No, it's just whoever could get the rocks out of the boat quicker than the other and then just get it to shore. So it didn't matter. There was no specific rule on how many people could go down.
So why were there so many people hanging on to this? What is it? It's a round rubber thing.
A buoy. Yeah.
What do you call it?
It's kind of like a buoy type thing.
A buoy, a boy. It's a boy. It's a boy. We would call it a boy.
this is the other fun part of our buoy. Show is a the buoy. The British versus American words that we have.
We spell it in the same way, you know. oh, every time I laugh now, I must try and make this such a deadpan show, so I don't have to giggle or something. Otherwise, I'd be wincing, and you'll think, what's going wrong with him? What's going wrong with him is I moved some books. I moved some large art books. And
I'm sorry.
And I've sort of squared or queered my back, and I ow, ow. What I need is Patricia's advice. she would say, don't move those books 5 minutes after I've done it. And I'd be on the floor with pain. And she'll be continuing to give me advice for the next half an hour. So, you know, all praise to Patricia. At least she got there eventually. I think she's a great character, but she's not one I would like to have in my backyard. I just think she's a bit much. And when you compare her with Kathy comes off sort of very close to sanctity. I mean, you know, she's going to go a long way now. I didn't think so last week. Last week, I thought she was doomed. This week, I think she's going to be one of those. I think this whole series is about sliding in, rather than being great or good. It's about going under the radar. And Kathy, for all her obsession with snails, is strangely under the radar.
She's very hungry.
Well, this whole episode made me. Gosh, I've lost half my ear there. there we are. The miracle of the ear is back. It's like The whole episode reminded me of Dr. Doolittle and the search for the great pink sea snail. Or I think, were they searching for the great pink sea? Anyway, it did appear. And instead we got these rather slimy black things, which and they didn't seem to eat, they didn't seem to cook them as well. They just seemed to be slurping down and then complaining about gristle or something. And so I don't think snails have gristle.
John said it was good, though. Remember that. John said how delicious this is.
Yeah, well, having heard all the other comments, I'm thinking that John's sense of taste has sort of taken a dive bomb. The whole thing just looks so disturbing. And then, bizarrely, I saw one of the most delightful films this afternoon on a sort of moment of pain-filled abstraction. It's a film called Over the Moon. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a snail in that as well. And...
So just it all tied together and carries on our theme from last week.
It all ties together. Everything ties together. In fact, I was so pleased with this film. I thought I'd almost make a little video on YouTube and say, you've got to watch this film. Instead, I'm going to do it here. So anyway, yeah. So Black Lives Matter, episode 2, and snails. You know, there is nothing else, really.
That's the sum of it, guys. Thanks for tuning in. I've summed up
everything, yeah. They are in the French Polynesian. Oh, people in France eat snails. Yes, I know they do, but I thought they cooked them.
Have to cook them in some way. Of course, I'm not a seafood person anyway, so that would be my biggest struggle, on Survivor.
Calamari is the nearest thing to sort of, it's just gorgeous.
No.
Just gorgeous. No. I mean, I don't like them in real life. In real life, I think they're sort of predatory and rather sort of, you know, weird. I just wouldn't like one swimming towards me. But on a plate and sort of breaded, they're really rather delicious. And I also quite like, what do I like? I was going to say I also like crabs. I really don't like crabs in any of their forms. But I like octopus. Octopus. I like little octopus.
I've never tried it. To be honest, I've never tried it.
No one's caught one this season.
No. But actually, if I go to a restaurant, I would quite like to have Well, the plural of octopus is a very peculiar plural. It's octopodi. So I would like to have octopus. It's a Greek fifth declension noun. Anyway, octopodi.
So
the BBC often gets it wrong.
Don't go on Survivor if you don't like any form of seafood, because you're not going to really...
Yeah, absolutely. Cody, how on earth can you be a Survivor fan if you don't like seafood?
I could eat it out of necessity, but I mean, it's not...
Necessity
if I go
is
to
the mother of invention.
Yeah, if I go to a restaurant, I'm certainly not... diving for escargot or calamari or any other strange sea creature.
Alex, look at this. Alex Trias, who must have a Greek background with a name like that. Alex Trias, octopus. Octopus is not a Latin word. It's a Greek word, and you follow the plural of the language from which the word was stolen. So. Octopodi is the correct, and you could say octopuses, as in James Bond, but you can't. You can't say octopi. Common BBC mistake, but the BBC, as we're learning rapidly at the moment from Martin Bashir and one or two others, is not always right.
So I gotta say, I did not expect the podcast to start this way, but
I'm so sorry.
You never know what you're gonna get.
What's gonna be said. This is why I love it, and I'm glad that you're rewatching the seasons, because people want to listen to this because you're giving a take that
I'm right. Our viewer Alex Trias is Greek, so his name would be Alexandros. How wonderful. Alexandros Omegas, Alexander the Great. There we are. Right. But we started off today's episode with one of the most bizarre expressions, which I think I've heard, and you're going to have to explain this one. Lauren, you're going to have to explain it to me. It's clearly American. Clearly I'm just so filled with British, sense and innuendo, but a lot of shag for our little tribe. It just disturbs me to hear this being said. I think, what are they getting up to? What does this mean? It does. It is as bad as I think it is, isn't it? 20 years has not improved our understanding of this expression. Or have, did I just miss
it? I don't know any alternate meaning to that expression, but I don't remember hearing it in the episode. I guess I didn't pick up on it, so I don't know the context around it.
Right at the beginning, and I don't know who said it.
Was it around the time they were talking about doing massages?
Like yes,
group
it was.
Massages? Yeah, well, so that would make that kind of fits into that context a bit, doesn't
really?
It?
Really? Yeah. I didn't see the massages happening.
I didn't either. They were spoken about, but I didn't see them happen.
They happened right. They were like all sitting behind each other and massaging each other's back. So it did happen.
All right.
Oh, yeah, they were like in a train.
It's like an ultimate group bonding experience.
Maybe at this point I took my glasses off because I thought it was sort of as dodgy as the soundtrack was going. But
I mean, it's not any worse than what Rob and Sarah were doing in episode one.
What were they doing in episode? They were in the. They were in the boat.
Yeah, they were just in the boat. They were just chilling in the boat. Same thing with the massages. They're just chilling.
The love boat. Yeah.
The blow-up boat. Maybe there was a lot more blowing up than one expected.
They wanted to make into a hot tub, but never. It didn't happen.
Well, I think there might have been some heat going on. Some inner heat. Some inner heat. right. So Kathy.
Let's talk about Kathy because I'm a Kathy fan, and despite having already seen the season and already knowing what happens.
Well, I don't think Kathy's going to win, by the way. I have to put a damper on this one. But I think she's going to go quite far. And I've warmed to Kathy. Despite the snails, I've warmed to Kathy. I like Kathy. Are we going to get her?
You just made him so happy.
I knew that that would happen.
We have to have a Kathy moment. I have to bond with Kathy.
I will go out of my way to get Kathy.
Let's go. We'll all have to go out of our way to get Kathy. If somebody who's watching knows Kathy,
She lives about an hour from me.
Really?
And owns a real estate business. So I will
get around for tea. We're over lockdown. We can bring people into our homes.
I'm fully vaccinated. I'm ready to go. That's the
line on the phone. That's the line on the phone. Absolutely. But we don't want her sleeping alone anymore. And I was do you know what I thought about this episode? This was the first episode I've seen in a very, very long time where humanity came to the fore, and it was Kathy who brought it. She starts off with all this thing sleeping alone, and then and then you have the confrontation in the little lean-to where she's being sort of attacked by the entire tribe, and she sort of wells up and she's quite teary, and she's done two or three confessions up to that point explaining her position. And I think to a certain extent she's being set up by production, but she's being set up by production for an emotional moment. I think, wow, at least in this episode, for the first time possibly in the history of Survivor, Survivor production is doing the right thing. It's actually showing us, and it's encouraging character development, and it's encouraging us to see sort of positive emotion. I may not have been very positive for Kathy at the time, but you know, suddenly you have this manifestation of quite a strong person who knows what she wants and who is suddenly presented with vulnerability or invulnerability, and the whole of the viewing public must warm to her. I certainly did. I'm a sucker for a wobbling lip anyway.
And I'm glad that you came around to Kathy, because of course, like we've already established a
few
times.
Was I very negative about her last week?
No. You weren't seeing.
I wasn't seeing all the beauty in agreement that's inside her.
Yeah. We weren't in agreement on how great of a player she is and will be.
Who else have we come to agreement with? Because because I think last week I was very pro Hunter, and this week I've gone off him a bit. I was very pro Hunter. I was fairly indifferent.
You're
very pro Sean.
Very pro Sean.
Oh, believe me, my pro Sean has only increased this week. And last week I thought I'm going to say Velociraptor, but that's not her name, is it? It's
Vesepia.
Vesepia. I thought Vesepia had enormous potential last week.
Yes.
Now I am pegging her as a winner, and I'm possibly she's going to end up as second because I think if Survivor is fair, Sean will win. But I think Sean is taking Vesepia on a journey to that final, and they're going to do it by ducking for cover. And why do I know this? It's so simple. Reading the edit. So here we've got Hunter bitching. There is no other word. Bitching about Sean. I mean, I didn't think alpha males did a lot of bitching, but clearly Hunter is demonstrating a capacity for a sort of bitch fest that I thought was beyond him. It was just unending nastiness, and yet at the same time, production gives Sean all the time in the world and gives him such a favourable edit. Yes, I am working, but I'm doing it quietly. I don't need to sing my own praises, except in a confessional.
Well, look at this. I think what happened was a little bit of Patricia rubbed off on Hunter, so then he was getting all antsy about, in his mind, Sean really not doing much of anything. But Sean is the type of player that he doesn't want to be told what to do. He wants to just go off and do it by himself. It's not that he's not really doing anything. He's just going to do it on his own merit and his own time.
Well, and agreeably so. But, you know, I think this is one way to win. You go under the radar and you just avoid, as long as he can avoid being taken out. And at the moment, this particular tribe, and I suspect the other tribe as well, because I suspect this is a sort of all these people have been cast with the knowledge that they're all going to go for each other and take out anybody who they think is going to win. So last week we got rid of the wonderful Peter, who I still want to meet. Ow! That's God punishing me for being so forward. So the wonderful Peter. Now we take out. We take out the lead lady, Patricia, and you know, a round of applause. I think I will be proven correct if Sean and Vesepia can get rid of Hunter, and on the other side, if Gabriel and I think Tammy and I'm afraid Zoe, all the characters are just going to have to go. If you get all the characters out of the way, Sean and Vesepia can ride through all the way through.
Now, how do you think John's going to do? Because you hear John...
Oh, John's got to go as well.
Okay, because I was going to say, he wants to be the person to do everything. It was a little jealous of Kathy.
Look, I promise, if we find, if next week, Roto lose the challenge, then I would expect John to be taken out. But if not next week will be rather boring, I think, because if we have another week with Motorola losing the challenge, then who would you take out next? If you're taking out all the big characters, Rob's becoming a sort of big character, but he's so insignificant, he doesn't present any real danger. So I don't think he's up for eviction. I think Sarah continues to irritate. Despite, no, you have to tell me, why do you think Sarah is... What is so wonderful about Sarah? Come on, please, convince me.
So
why is she going to last a little bit more than another week? Come on.
So I think in this episode, when we saw Sarah, she really was trying to put forth some ideas, right? And many of them were correct, like right in this week. I didn't pick up any of
her ideas. Maybe I just sort of heard her parroting Patricia.
That's when you were fast forwarding again.
Yeah,
I didn't fast forward. I might have glazed over occasionally, but so I didn't fast forward.
So they're working on the shelter, and they're working on putting the roof on the shelter at one point.
Yeah, and I like that little platting of the palm leaves.
And so this was an idea that she had presented a few times because their shelter was horrible.
Right. And she was saying this, and then she was saying that she had to do it quickly because they hadn't taken her advice early enough.
Right, and then all of a sudden it becomes Hunter's idea, and the tribe just jumps right on and starts doing it.
And throughout
the process, she's trying to tell them, like, okay, well, because they're building a roof and they have these like slats that they've fabricated and they're putting
and
them on.
And she's
like,
we
need to go
from
the bottom up instead of from the top down. So when the rain comes, which is absolutely correct. If you've ever seen anybody build a roof with like asphalt shingles, that's how you do it. You start at the bottom.
Not only have I seen that, but I've seen people thatching.
Yes.
it's fascinating.
So fascinating. That's how it goes. And I think that if...
As well.
I think that if they would have taken her ideas and actually like listened to her and given her a little bit of a voice, she would have been a little more motivated to jump in and help with these things. But because she was so disregarded every time she spoke, I think she just had very little motivation to step up and do anything.
But you know, you already have Patricia telling people what to do. You don't need yet another person telling you what to do. And you've got Hunter telling you what to do now. I mean, I would be trying to find my own place. I'd be trying to reach Kathy, I think. I'd go and join Rob and Sarah in the boat. I just wouldn't want to be anywhere near all that noise.
Well, I think also too, what hurts Sarah a little bit is Gina and Hunter, you could see that they have like some type of relationship, they're close, and then you had Patricia in there as well. Those three kind of dominating the workforce.
So interesting. Gina has not registered on my radar at all. Tell me a bit more about Gina. She must be someone else I've missed.
So Gina on that tribe, she's a bit more under the radar. She's more of a work.
Yes, but did she say anything today?
Yep, she did. She was
did
like,
she really?
Yep, she was talking about Sarah not working and not pulling her weight, essentially. So yeah. Yeah, no, Gina has been there. It's just, you might have missed
her. Why did I notice Gina? I really don't, and unless she was a person who was going on about a lot of shag, but I don't know. I didn't notice her at all.
Which is interesting, too, because so Gina's profession, I just looked because I couldn't remember, is that she's a nature guide.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
this seems like she'd be the perfect fit.
She ought to be looking for pigs, and instead it's Rob on the other side doing. Oh, is it Rob? No, it's Rob on this side doing all the pig.
It's John on the other side, but he has some help over there looking for the pig.
What is he?
Is that the side that they built the pig snare?
Yeah, row two is the one that built the pig snare.
But Rob wants to find a pig and says he's going to do it with a big stick or something.
Yeah.
Or does it with a big stick? He gets a stick. Rob
he doesn't get
a
pig. I know that.
Yeah,
he failed on that mission.
but neither does Rota. I mean, they have a very nice pig trap, but the pigs go squealing past in another direction. I think I think that was the purpose of the nature shot there.
Well, so I think actually what happened with that is it didn't work in catching the pig, but there was a pig there that was right by the trap, I guess in the middle of the night or something, and they came back the next day and saw it, and so then they were trying to rework with how to make it better.
Yeah, because the snare activated.
Yes.
So it worked to an extent.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just didn't get the pig that time.
So can tell me more about Hunter. What has he done in today's episode, other than sort of mimicking Patricia?
Well, he's given us a fantastic weather report.
Oh God, the weather report! That was unendurable. I mean, if you're going to be a comedian, you at least have to be sort of engaging and funny. Who was it? Rob, Hunter, and John. Was it Sean?
Sean.
Sean. It was Sean. My man, Sean.
Yes.
No.
Sean's
the
producer of the whole thing, and then you've got Hunter on weather, Rob on food.
But I did like the little dance. I thought, you know, I liked the little dance and the two couples sort of assuming poses. And Sean did do something strange. He started singing. Now, was that an original song, or was that a song which is well known? Did they have the rights for it? How did that song get in there?
So I don't believe it was an original song. I believe it's a song that's out there.
It's a song I know you had to leave me or something, which maybe they were singing that for Patricia.
Maybe. Maybe it was a beautiful parting gift that they put together. But
yeah.
I think it is. It's not a song that I'm familiar with, but I do think that it's a song that's out there. So I don't know if Survivor had to license it just to have that clip.
Well, I know there's a Survivor sort of routine that if you want to discuss something intimate and you don't want the camera to betray it, you sing a popular song or something which you know is never going to be played on air.
I've heard of this before.
It costs too much.
From you haven't met him yet, but from Jonathan Penner has talked about that quite a few times.
I don't know him yet, but yeah. So and actually in that weather report, you know, Hunter was he's very easy on the eye, isn't he, Hunter? You can see as Sam says, you can see why he was cast, but he hasn't justified his casting so far.
He has risen to the top of his tribe. So
he's risen to the top of his tribe, but with the spirit that the tribe has got, they're going to decapitate him.
Getting complacent in his role at the top of the tribe. Maybe
I wouldn't matter how complacent or how good he is to bubble to the top of either tribe at the moment is to wish a death sentence on yourself.
Well, we'll see what happens next week with him as well, because wasn't part of the vote. Like, he was on the wrong side of the numbers for this vote.
He voted for Sarah. I think he'll get his way eventually with Sarah, so to speak.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I was going to say something about Hunter. I have no idea. So we go back to the traps and John setting his traps on the other side. Zoe didn't do anything this week.
Yeah, she was just there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what she did do.
Tell me.
He helped a little bit in the reward challenge, but other than that, really not.
Oh, the reward challenge bored the pants off me. Really, I mean, you know, this is the thing with all the with sort of getting the rocks out of or getting the rocks off the boat. Getting your rocks out. No, we're not going down there.
Well, then, if you didn't like that challenge, what did you think of the eating challenge?
Unendurable. Unendurable. I just think. It's not that I don't have the brain or the empathy to be able to put myself into the mouth of these various people. I just think so I can't think, oh, how horrible. That must be so horrible to eat this. What I just find so detestable is seeing inside these people's mouths while they're eating.
I'm kind of on your side on this one. I'm not a big fan of of the eating challenges that are like this. Like this particular eating challenge for me was very boring.
I'm not a big fan of eating in general. I think I think it's something you should do behind closed doors. I think there should be two rooms in the house which are locked whenever you're in there actually performing in those rooms. One is the loo and the other is the kitchen. And I think really, you know, we just shouldn't do those things in public because they're not decorous. You don't have photographs of the Queen eating, and with good reason. It's just not pleasant. And Jeff Probst, not surprisingly, has made this into some form of entertainment. So you've got his obsession with the people touching his idol, and then you've got his obsession with putting things in people's mouths, and today you've got some sort of autofellation where they're actually doing it themselves. It's quite where there's no hands. Look,
and rotten fish to boot.
Rotten fish and no hands. It's like ducking for apples, and it's not.
They would have been rather ducking for apples. I can tell you that right now.
I would equally have turned away for that challenge too. Just the thought of, you know, I just don't think you don't want to see people putting things in their mouth. I mean, I try very hard not to eat in public, because certain things like soup. You don't eat soup with a beard because you sort of dribble. And
you're going to be enjoying it for the rest of the day.
or my cats are anyway. You know, it's, cat attention. You think why are they being so attentive? It's because of the soup or the porridge that was left behind.
Well, and I think my other big problem with this challenge was that they should have done the whole challenge the way they did the tiebreaker. Like, instead of just you get a point because you got it down, you get a point because you got it down, it should have been whoever got it down first in every single round. Because every time they try to do this, like, okay, if you both eat it, you both get a point. But 90% of the time, both people eat it and you end up in a tie. So they need to step up the odds a little bit.
Cody, look, if they can eat those snails, they can eat that rotten fish.
I'm sure.
Ooh, really? I think that the fish is worse than the snails.
Really? It was just the quantity of the fish. It was just the sheer amount of fish they had to get in one mouthful.
Can we also talk about the sizes of the fish were definitely not even either.
No. I thought poor Rob, your heart went out to him when he got one fish down. When he had to go back to do the tiebreak, I thought, poor thing. Is it that they saw that his gag reflexes were rather noticeable?
That's why they picked him.
That's why because they wanted to see him.
And it was the same with Nalia. She was the most queasy on the other tribe. So they picked both of the people that they felt would perform the worst.
You want to pick the weakest in that sense because you're hoping that your tribe member can beat that other person quicker.
Because the tribes are picking for the opposite tribe, right? So, like, Rotu's picking who's going to go from Mira-Amu and vice versa.
Right. Anyway, well, Rob managed to get it down. Okay. What other things did I? So we looked at the first challenge was this I've got down here, raising the Titanic. And what I found so odd about that was the final reward. Am I right? What one of the teams was given a pair of flippers? So Rotu,
it was fishing gear. Is that what they were competing for?
But did it look like flippers to you?
I'm sorry.
Were they given some flippers?
I think so, to help them swim with a. They must have been given a spear also, or like a.
They were given a mask as well.
Okay.
All right. So they're going to do deep sea diving.
And the funny thing that stood out to me about this challenge was it was interesting to see that they all started off just moving one or two rocks at a time, and then suddenly it like dawned on them at the same time, like, let's just dump it out. Why don't we just dump it out? So I was curious if they came up with that idea And then the other tribe saw it and was like, oh yeah, let's do the same sort of thing. But I don't know how they would have seen it. So it was almost as if, because they came to this conclusion at the same time. So I was like, I wonder if production is like, guys, we're going to step it up here. We're going to just dump out the boat.
Because this is getting boring, one or two rocks.
Yeah. And there were some people that would go down and couldn't get a rock. Like by the time they got, it was pretty deep. When you look at the camera angle when they're swimming back up, the boat was pretty far down. Like I don't, like Sean went down at one point and he got to the boat, but then he wasn't able to remove any rocks and just went back up. So I think they were finally like, guys, just dump out the boat and get it up.
Yeah, because Gabe went down one time and got about 10 or so rocks out. And he was down there for a very, very long time, which is he was super a beast. Hard. Yeah, that's really hard.
As I say, I would be very entertained if when that tribe loses their challenge, I'd be very entertained if he's taken out quite fast. Because if that's the case, this is why everyone's being cast. They've been cast because they're determined to take out any potential opposition. And I don't think that's the way to play this game. I think that makes for a slightly dull game. And at that point, production is going to have to edge in and do something to spice things up significantly.
Well, before we end up spicing some things up, let's hear a word from our sponsors.
Oh, we got some more mushrooms.
By the time you feel thirsty, it's too late. You're already dehydrated. You can't focus and you feel tired.
Drinking enough water is critical for a healthy lifestyle that you're trying to maintain. It increases your brain power, boosts your productivity. It can prevent headaches and it'll increase your focus. Not only that, it improves your skin and mood and it can help with your digestion and give you energy. Wow, it also prevents bad breath and can help you lose weight. But how much water should you drink each day? 10 cups? A gallon? The good news is that it doesn't have to be so complicated. That's why I start my day with Hydrant, because Hydrant helps you hydrate faster.
Hydrant has created a refreshing electrolyte powder that you mix directly into water to more efficiently and effectively hydrate your body. It hydrates you quickly and keeps you going for longer. Each rapid hydration mix has the four essential electrolytes that your body needs: sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc, and it packs a punch to help your body hydrate fast and stay hydrated. If you're looking for that extra boost of energy, there's also Hydrant Plus Caffeine, which contains 100 milligrams of caffeine from green tea. Hydrant is backed by research. The formula was developed by an Oxford scientist. It also is loved by pro athletes, top performers, celebrities, and has thousands of five-star reviews.
It's made with real fruit juice powder. It's delicious and refreshing, and it comes in a variety of flavors, including iced tea, lemonade, and fruit punch. My favorite personally is the grapefruit. It's a classic and I go back to it. It's delicious. Plus, this stuff is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love it, you can send it back for a full refund. You really need to try it for yourself to see what I'm talking about. It tastes incredible and it works.
Well, Hydrant starts at just $1 a packet for a 30-day supply, and you save even more with a monthly subscription. And it's so easy to get. We've got a special deal for our listeners to save 25% off your first order. We're not kidding here, folks. 25%. Go to drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter promo code SURVIVOR for 25% off your first order. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter promo code SURVIVOR to save 25%. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid, but I had to give it up because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you really shouldn't eat. Now, I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking protein shakes and powders for years, but finally found a delicious way to get my protein before and after workouts. Now, we're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you'll love, but without all the bad stuff.
We're talking 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. And there's only 140 calories a serving. This stuff's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. And we've got exciting news. Magic Spoon has released a super delicious new flavor, birthday cake. Birthday Cake Magic Spoon will be available in a special 5-pack for a limited time only, so get it now while you can. You can also do the Build Your Own box with available flavors to build your own custom bundle with cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, and cinnamon. If you're listening from Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there as well. Great news all around.
Go, Zach. It's your birthday. Go, Zach. It's your birthday. But also go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab the new limited edition birthday cake or a custom bundle of cereal to try it today. Be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. This offer is now good anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, but only when you use our code SURVIVOR at checkout.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their products, it's backed by a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use the code SURVIVOR to save $5. Thanks, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Go, Zach. It's your birthday.
And we're back.
I'm so excited by that advert. Not only can we go out and build our own box, which I find rather entertaining, but also, you know, even at this strange time in the evening, we can think about breakfast. You know, bon appétit, or if we're referring to Alex from Greece, was a Kaliorexi, Alex. so who's up for breakfast with birthday cereal? Wonderful. I'm sure it's going to make everybody on Survivor feel very envious that people who are watching it can break into a birthday cereal box.
I'm sure that they would trade in their snails for some birthday magic spoon.
Shouldn't this program be having sort of Survivor themed adverts? We should be selling sort of snails in bits, and you could put together your own snail or
Well, I'm not sure that that's a service.
Or smelly fish.
Smelly fish. I'm not sure that that's a service, but we'll get with Johnny. We'll see what we can come up with.
We have to talk to him. But I do remember once I was teaching in a school and I had a dinner party and I bought some fish and I didn't have time to take it home before the school day began. So I took it into the school and I put it into the fridge in the staff room and somehow I forgot about it. Ooh. And it gets much, much worse. I forgot about it. I had my dinner party. I made do without the fish. And about 4 months later...
I can only imagine.
Yeah, it was awful. We were having one of these teacher conferences where you have sort of all the staff gathered around, so there's about 60 or 70 people. And the head teacher said that you may have noticed that the kitchen is now out of bounds, it's being deep cleaned. And I thought, oh, how dreadful. So, because somebody left some fish in the fridge and it has gone off. And we think this was a practical joke. And I was absolutely. And I think that might have been my fish. I didn't come clean.
Of course not.
No.
Of course you can't. I saved
it for our podcast.
I hope that they're all watching.
Yeah, if anybody discovers smelly fish in their freezer, it's likely to be mine. When I first met my partner, he was brought to my flat in Greece, and the person who brought him there said, "Oh, let's have a cup of tea." Because I wasn't in the flat at the time. Let's have a cup of tea, and we'll have it like the English do. We'll have it with milk. Go to the fridge and get some milk out. My partner went to the fridge, opened the fridge. First of all the milk was off, and spectacularly so, because obviously I go to form. And and secondly, he thought, well, what else is in the fridge? Well, apparently there was a copy of the Times, and a pair of socks. I have no idea why either of those were in the fridge, but that was it. He does tell the story.
That must be a British thing, because we don't, that's not how we keep our socks here.
it's not exactly right. Which out of the, Sam is saying, which out of the first three seasons are your favorite? Well, I live in the moment, Sam. At the moment, my favorite is this episode. I'm so excited by it. But I in every episode, I write down the sentences which I think are particularly distinctive. And the sentences, I got two for today. Shall we do the polite one first?
Sure.
Yeah. Knock out the polite one first.
The polite one is not terribly polite, because it's the sepia. She's saying something nasty about Sarah, and she says Sarah knows she is just here for the ride, and I thought that was extraordinary. I mean, she's clearly not a fan of Sarah, but she's not going to say too much publicly. It's such a mistake. The fellow from the first series is the person who's my favourite winner, I think. What was it? It begins with a V.
From the first season?
Yes.
Richard Hatch.
Oh, Richard Hatch. Yes, that's right. I love Richard Hatch, and I've met him, so I love him more now. I think if you're going to say something, you have to do it subtly. And that's why Hunter and all these other people who sort of, and why Peter went so badly wrong. It's not a good idea the day before you're going to vote to be going around the place canvassing to vote against somebody. I think you canvass to vote for somebody. And that earns your brownie points. You could canvass against somebody by omission. But going around the place sort of canvassing for somebody to be voted off just comes across as cruel, vindictive, and ultimately it backfires. And I think particularly with the way all these people are thinking, it's going to backfire splendidly. Now, the other thing is, because, as you know, Jeff Probst is my favorite person. And I
always love your connections that you make between Jeff and all of his quirky habits.
Well, I just thought today I actually had to I had to look at this little scene twice. As you know, I didn't like the food sequence, and I had to turn away. And at one of those points when I turned away, I heard Jeff Probst saying, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, swallow, Rob. And I just thought I had to turn around and see what exactly was going on, you know. That was a little sequence which really does benefit from the visuals. Without the visuals, the mind boggles, you know. So he goes from touching his idol or getting everybody else to touch his idol to now giving lessons in how best to swallow. Rob, watch your gag reflex.
We want Cody and I to give our opinions on this, because
I think that you are going to love the relationship that you see develop between Boss and Rob and Jeff Probst over the coming seasons.
Even
the rest of this season, maybe. And just how cringy it can be at sometimes. Jeff is, he's got something going for Boss and Rob. He's a fan.
Clearly he has today. I mean, you know.
He goes to him after the challenge and basically said, yeah, that's tough. I've never seen him do that with anybody else.
Yeah, Jeff doesn't, the host doesn't come over and say like, oh, that's all right, man. It was good try.
I have seen Jeff Probst do physical contact once or twice in season one or two. But yes, I have noticed he is a sort of noli me tangere character. You know, do not touch me. If you touch, it's like I am sort of an alien creature. I am so sacred. I must not be touched.
Oh, there's one tribal council though, but it's very, very far away. So,
oh, really?
I would love to hear your take on it, but long time until we can get there.
But I don't understand. How can he keep such a distance from everybody?
I'm also a contestant coming to him.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, there is a cult of Jeff Probst, which I'm quite sure that he is encouraging and promoting. But so you know, he must be holding people back. He probably this entire gang of producers standing around him. Don't touch Jeff. Don't touch. touch Jeff. But I want to. I want to. All I want to do is get my hands on Jeff. Okay. Could he give me some more swallowing advice? practical advice from Jeff. He could write a book on this, or somebody could write him. I'd like to write the book for him. But anyway.
I would love to read, not about swallowing advice, I would love to read a book written by Jeff Probst about Survivor and the development of the series. I do think that would be quite interesting.
I don't think it would be called Survivor. I think it'd be called Jeff Probst. Yeah. the intimate story and all my advice. But he clearly must be traveling with a host of dressers and makeup artists, because he looks immaculate. It's the immaculate deception. Every single time he appears on camera, he is superbly coiffed and toned, and his trousers are very neat and snug. And he's an icon of urbanity in a world of chaos.
And I don't know if this started way back. I know that it started in season one, but his outfits, if you've noticed from season one to now, he's got a little bit more of a tailored look.
Absolutely.
So the reason he started wearing the clothes he was is that in season one, they were purchased at like a local shop, these like fishing style shirts that he wears.
Yes, that's right.
Now they order these shirts specifically for him and then have them tailored so that they fit him correctly. But just to keep up with the Jeff Probst image that he's created with this fishing style shirt that he wears, they have a specific brand that they regularly order, and then they tailor it down to fit him.
Did we want to see him in shorts? I don't remember.
Often, yeah. Now he wears them often.
Right. We did see. I'm not just imagining it.
The first season he was wearing shorts too.
Yeah, I hasten to confess, I do have Jeff Probst fantasies every so often. Frankly, I can't get Jeff Probst out of my mind. It's like a sort of
maybe that's where all of these innuendo manifestations occur. I don't think I have
innuendos. I think I just think of Jeff Probst and out these things pop. It's like a sort of unexpected snail.
I have to say that was not the quote that I was expecting. So it was a bit of a shocker for me.
I'm so sorry. Did you find any quotes yourself?
Top that one, Lauren. At this point, you can't top that. So that's the thing.
I'm afraid, could Rob. But Fafaru. That's a sort of shorthand for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Swallow, Rob. But anyway,
ladies and gentlemen, this is why our show is called Reality NSFW.
Sam is saying Jeff dated a constant before.
A contestant.
Jeff is a constant, of course. Did you know Jeff and Gina were taking a...
We're talking
Jeff and Gina
one point.
Were talking a one point. What's a one point?
I didn't know that they were...
We're talking at one point. Yeah. Were they really? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I don't know about that. I know about the one that's out there.
Oh, right. Well, I think Jeff is fairly out there. But I mean, so while Jeff and Gina were talking at one point, Rob was trying to get it down, and or keep it down. But anyway, Patricia, Patricia and her coconuts. Poor Patricia.
Are you referring to real coconuts this time, or when Hunter was putting sunscreen on her?
There's no innuendo. Patricia would slap me if there were. I don't know. She had the coconuts. Then she's laying into Hunter about the fire. At Patricia's demise, which occurs at... I hate to give a spoiler. At Patricia's demise, what scene made you uncomfortable, Sam? I'm really concerned.
The sunscreen scene.
Hunter putting the sunscreen on Patricia.
Yeah.
yes. I I I've I've overlooked that, I'm afraid. I'm so sorry. So at her demise, I would normally feel very, 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 very sympathetic, and I didn't today. And I'm not quite sure why. Have I been taken up into the spirit of Survivor?
I think so, Professor Tim. I think you've been hardened, because I even was like,
I hope I've not been hardened, given all Jeff Probst's advice. I mean, that would be particularly disturbing. Jeff Probst is not a man to harden me. I feel I've become sort of immune to these sort of. To this sob story that is somebody's departure episode. And, you know, really this whole episode was about Patricia, wasn't it? In a sense.
It was, but you mean to tell me that the tool tree that she invented, you weren't like all for it? You didn't want to jump on that?
Not remotely. I don't know. Do you think that she somehow or other made production irritated with her? I mean,
I think she brought spice to this episode. I wish that she would have stayed for a few more. I could have handled it.
That's true.
I just feel I've not seen a more sort of savage edit. Or at least an edit hasn't had this much effect on me. Normally when I see somebody going, I think, oh, if only I'd known that before, I would have liked her to stay. But this time, last week I was all for Patricia. This week I was all for her going. And I thought, this is not me. I've become like one of these children from Lord of the Flies. I think, you know, Jeff Probst has got me under his maniacal thumb.
You've gone feral, Professor Tim.
What?
I said you've gone feral, Professor Tim.
Yeah, I think it's all to do with the back problem. the other thing that stood out to me for today's episode was suddenly the sort of surreptitious reference to religion again by Sean and the sepia. I love the description by the sepia of Sean. That he is Malcolm X with intelligence. I just thought that was that's another quotation. I think the sepia is the cleverest thing that ever has been on Survivor, and she's just wickedly brilliant.
And she's doing and one thing she's doing really great right now is that she's not attracting any attention. Exactly. Nobody's paying attention to her, but she's showing us how intelligent she is in her confessionals. And kind of flying under the radar at camp, which is perfect.
Well, that must be the way to do it. But I don't think this is my problem with Survivor, and it's my problem with a lot of reality TV. Certainly, all the reality TV I've seen. Look, once people work out how to play the game, they play it so well it becomes dull, and then production has to get involved in some way to try and spice it up. Now I've seen. Ways in which production has got involved, and I sort of disapprove of that because it's a bit sort of leaden and ham-fisted, and it's generally they think, oh, let's be particularly nasty. But my sense here with Survivor is that the players have a natural sense of nastiness anyway. They don't need any nastiness from Jeff Probst. They just need encouragement, which obviously he's giving. He's giving in his own inimitable way. 1-5-4-3-2-1. But Sean and the sepia have got an alliance against all this nastiness, and I think that's going to carry them through. That's my analysis. Time will tell. We've probably got to a natural end. We need another advert.
Done. Oh, and we have them on deck, ready to go.
Oh, and what we didn't do last time, by the way, we didn't, and it saddened me greatly because I thought no one will be able to find me, but we didn't say where we can be found.
Yes, I thought about that today, actually. So, Professor Tim, where could we find you if we were looking for you online?
I think you just put in Professor Tim, and I pop up, but you know, there are other Professor Tim Wilsons, but I think you go to
jeffprobstfanclub.com, and under president, you'll find a listing for Professor Tim Wilson.
You will. If that job is vacant, I'll do that, or I'll edit his next cookbook. The mind boggles, and I could go in for ironing his trousers.
I bet he'd love that,
whether he's wearing them or not. So you can find me in Instagram in what is it now? Professor_Tim_Wilson, and in YouTube I'm under my Zontul Films Limited. That's ZONTUL FILMSLTD, and in Twitter I'm Prof_Tim_Wilson. Lauren, where do we find you?
So I'm on Twitter at Lauren_Pratt6. And what?
Are you on Instagram as well? Because I haven't found you on Instagram. I'd be following you.
I am on Instagram. It's just Pratt6. So super simple.
Oh my goodness. You have to scream to me, because I'll find you. I'll find you tonight. I'll go on a hunt.
I'll find you and make sure. Yeah, we will connect on the Instagram.
Please do, because I've only found you elsewhere, I think, on Twitter or something. So, and Cody, where do we find you?
Yeah, so primarily you can find me on Twitter at Cody Survivor, and I am on Instagram.
You are.
Yeah, I am. That's how we communicate with.
Instagram on Instagram.
So,
yep.
Yeah. So CodyGiroux_1. If you don't know how to spell my last name, find me on Twitter first. And then it'll make it a lot easier to find me on Instagram.
Where is the surname from? Where is the second name from?
Well,
is it French?
It is French. Of course, it originates in France. But my more immediate family is from Canada. So,
And a French-speaking family?
They were. My great-grandfather immigrated to the United States from Canada and spoke only French arrived here.
That's splendid. Right.
All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in today to Reality NSFW Rewind. Be sure to come back and catch us next week on Tuesday. I think this will probably be our new time around 6:45. Try to keep it a little bit earlier for Professor Tim, who's way over in the UK, 5 hours ahead of us. And we had him up at 1 o'clock in the morning last week doing this podcast with us. So kudos to him for sticking that out, because you're not getting me on a podcast at 1 o'clock in the morning, I can promise. So. But thanks again. Make sure you hit the subscribe button below. Give this video a thumbs up. Share it with all of your friends. We want to get the word out there about this great podcast that we are doing. And I hope that you all have a safe and a happy and healthy week.
We should be good.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made by people, not patients, Lucy's created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually does taste great, and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, even in the gym. I'm so excited that Lucy is sponsoring us, because one of my best friends in the world, he's trying to quit smoking. His girlfriend's been getting on him for years. He's a big menthol smoker, and the wintergreen flavor is a really nice substitute for him that he absolutely loves. So this is the thing that you need to check out if you've been trying to kick your tobacco habits.
I have a family member that's tried the pomegranate, and they say it's one of the greatest tasting gums they've ever had. We're not talking nicotine gum. We're talking any gum. So if you've been discouraged by other nicotine gums, try the pomegranate. And also for the lozenge, the cherry ice is allegedly the best. And you know what? I believe them. But as far as enjoying anywhere, I heard at the gym, you get a little extra bump from the lozenge and from the gum.
Boom. It's 2020. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal, and a subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum and lozenges. That's Lucy, LUCY.co. That's right, CO, and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. So that's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR, and we thank them for sponsoring the Reality NSFW podcast. This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right. We're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BLUECHEW.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.